Okay, we continue. I forgot to look at the time, so I went a bit farther while the camera was not recording. I will repeat very briefly what I was doing. I was showing the results of the simulation of the model, and first I focus on this graph, which is a summary of what is happening, where you see five variables that are displayed. And what I told you, and perhaps I missed in the recording, is that for each variable, you should look at the scale here. What is a bit confusing is that you have here five variables, but you have only four scales. And the reason is the first one and the second one, the net process throughput and desired throughput, have the same scale. Which is the scale? Since they are on top, that means you have to look in on top. So the minimum value in the Y scale for net process throughput and desired throughput is 1,000. So if you are here, you have 1,000, which is per week. On top is 2,000. So this scale is all for 1,000 to 2,000 for the first two variables. For allocation to production, which is the next one, you have the scale from 2,000 hours per week, the minimum, to 4,000, and so on for the others. Then the first two variables, you don't see the red here because it is below the blue one. Benzene puts the blue up on top of the next one, so you don't see the red one. But what you can do is to select any variable you like for instance, here you have the gross process throughput. You click on that and select it. You click on graph, and then you get a similar graph with only that variable, and this line here will correspond to this one. And you can do that separately for each other. Then finally, I said that in the control panel, you can modify, you can click on graphs. You see all the graphs here that are defined. You can click on any one of them, modify, and then you can give any scale that you like from minimum Y to maximum Y. And then afterwards, display that, and you will see that similarly. So that was a brief overview of all these things. And this model is available in Frontier. Since I made a change with that, I'm going to close. Huh. Did I save it? No. Five. Close. Nope. And I open it again. Exactly as the way that is in Frontier. Okay, then after this introduction, I want to engage you a little bit in the model so that you also get a little experience with working with its equations just to get started. So, what I want you to do, at least in the beginning, is this algorithm that allows you to determine the steady state. And the algorithm you have on page 4 of the document is System Dynamics Model of Process Improvement, which is this one here. So page 4, you have it there. And what you have to look for is that problem introduction, which is the inflow to process problems, is equal to problem correction. And adjusting allocation, which is the only flow for the other stock, the allocation stock is zero so that it doesn't change. And in addition, that the variable net process throughput must equal desired throughput. Now, let's start and do that together. So, we have all the equations. The first thing that we do is to make sure that process problems equals initial process problems. So let's look at the graph. So we make sure that this is equal to this. And you do that the following way. Initial process problems is given in the document. It is a constant. Process problems, which is the stock, if it's going to be constant all the time, it's going to be equal to initial process problems. So we start with that. Process problems. And please do that with me. After doing the first two steps, I will ask you to continue alone. Process problems must be set to initial process problems. And then we look it up. We look it up in the page 3. Let's find it. Here it is. Initial process problems is 0.4. So we put 0.4. And you can't even give it the units. It has to be very accurate. Okay? So the first step is done. Here. Number one. Number two. Compute problem introduction. So problem introduction can be computed now, as I will show in a moment. What is it equal? We look it up in the equations. Here it is. Problem introduction is equal to the unattended problem process level minus process problems divided by the average process erosion time. So here is the equation. I don't write it. I just point you to this equation, which is this one. And we look up all the values. We need unattended process problems. It's an equation like this. Unattended problem process level, we look it up here. Here it is. It's 0.9. So 0.9. Minus process problems. But process problems is here. So it is 0.4. And both are dimensionless. And we must divide it by the average process erosion time. And that is this one. So we divide by 40 weeks. And we get some result, which you can compute. And then you continue with the next step and so on. And all the time you are going to get numbers. So please continue with the algorithm by yourself. Let's say the next 2 to 3 steps. So you have now computed probability introduction. Find out how much this is. This is 0.5 divided by 40. Which is 1 divided by week. And that should be the same as 0.5, 1 divided by 80. 1 divided by 80, which is 0, probably 125 or something like this, I suppose. Maybe I even have it somewhere. Yes, 0.0125 is the next step. And then you can continue with number 3 and so on. And so on. And here is actually the facet for the whole things where you should get. And I believe that this is also in Fronter. So for every question that you are doing, you can check in Fronter that you are getting the right result. Let me check if that is correct, what I am saying. Yes. So, in Fronta, you have not only the algorithm, but also the actual numbers that you should get. So, I suggest that you go a bit further and do a few more steps, iterations, and check that you are getting the same as in this template. This template is actually generated by Excel, so I have actually an Excel file where all these equations are in, meaning that if I change some parameter here, then Excel immediately, if I define the problem differently with different parameters, then Excel will do the computations for me. So I have done the first two steps. I want you now to do two or three more steps so that you get the feeling that yes, I can. That you can do that. So let's say you spend now a few more minutes, 5 minutes more doing this so that you come farther. And if you have any questions, then you ask me. And when you see equilibrium, then it means the same as steady state. That's the same thing. The model is in equilibrium when the results don't change over time, or when you have a steady state for all the variables. Is it going fine? You have made a few more steps? Or do you have some questions? Do you need more time? Yes. You don't need to finish. Yes. What I want you to check is if you can proceed further one or two more steps so that you understand the logic of it. So basically, it's about you want to come to the two unknown variables, the desired throughput and the initial allocation to production. And in order to come that far, you need to find the values of the quantities that define the desired throughput and the initial allocation to production. And that means you have to do a few computations until you are able to put in numbers for desired throughput and initial allocation to production. It's not more difficult than that. Forgot to start Skype so that students outside could communicate with me. Yeah. You need to what? Yes, yes. Allocation to production, let me see which step. So the question is about computing allocation to production, I guess. So let me see. Compute allocation to problem correction. That is it this one or where? No, where are you? Allocation to problem correction, yes. So, yes, available time, you know that, it's 2,000, minus allocation to production. minus allocation to production. Minus allocation to production. Let me see. Minus allocation to production. Yes, let me see. Compute allocation to problem correction. Let me see. Yes, a moment. How I did that. Actually, I can see that in the template. Yes, I think I went a different path. If we look at the here. This one. So, yes, you can compute it using this one, which is a number, and this one, which you can compute from this. So, instead of using the equation for this, you can see this enters here, and therefore. You see, if you know this and you know this, then you compute this. Yes, that's a little difficulty because here you are, instead of computing this from the equations here, you are computing it backwards from here. That's the trick. Okay, I suggest that we break off now. If you have more questions, we can take them later after the in the break or later after the next break. The idea is that you could see that how you can proceed in order to determine the equations. Then you will have a model that can simulate in equilibrium. And once you know that, and you get everything there, then you can ask, what does the model tell me if I make changes, if I make different decisions? So in a sense, we have now an enterprise. It is in steady state. But now, say the managers want to improve the situation. They want to make changes. Before you can do that, we want to see if the steady state is stable. And one way of doing that is to introduce a pulse that disturbs the steady state and see what happens. And I will show you that in a moment in a simulation. The red line, which is below the blue, so that's why you see it here in the step where this departs, is the original steady state or equilibrium one. So it is like this. Now we introduce a pulse. And in the desired process throughput, and we see what happens to the net process throughput. So let's look at the Benzi model. Here. First, we need a different simulation file. If it doesn't exist, you define it. But I am going to open an existing one. And we change the definition of desired throughput so that it is a pulse. And the equation is here in the documentation, so I need only to copy paste. Well, you see here, is the steady state value, 1440 for this high throughput. And now we add a pulse. And as you have learned before, for a pulse to be independent of the choice of the tie step, you have to make the height of the pulse equal to the impact of the pulse, in this case it is 100, divided by the time step. And then you have the pulse that occurs at time 10, and it is instantaneous in the sense of only the duration of the pulse is just a time step. This was an examination. This occurred in the previous examination project in the first course. And as to you, Ragna, you can look at the solution. I think I have posted the solution. If not, please contact me and I send it to you. I think it is in front there. Okay, so when you do that, Benzing is going to notice that the time step is not yet linked, so it's going to alert me. The following inputs were not expected, but I use the time step. Do you want to update the input list and modify the diagram? I say yes, and then I get here this link. Or it's a bit confusing that there are several, but we have it there. Okay. Now you can simulate and see what happens. You do that, and you see the consequences of the pulse in the different variables. The red line is the desired throughput, and you see clearly the pulse in the red now. Otherwise, everything is equal to the blue. And you see the consequences for the other variables. If you want to see it a bit clearer, then you select one variable at a time. So for instance, you select, neck process throughput, and take the graph. And that's basically the equation that is in the lectures. So the pulse here is instantaneous, but the impact on the net process throughput takes a bit of time until everything is back to normal. So what does this teach you? It teaches you that the simulation model that we have is quite robust in the sense that sudden shocks, sudden departures from the steady state are quickly absorbed and the system goes back to steady state or equilibrium. If it didn't, then you could doubt whether the model was a good one, because normally enterprises and so on, they are able to absorb short time shocks if they are not too big and so on. So going back to the presentation, to the slides, we are here. And we see that the pulse disturbance, you want the enterprise to produce more, but only during a short period of time, they are able to do that and return to equilibrium. Okay, then you can start experimenting and say, suppose you want to achieve much more. So you set up a step increase in desired production. What happens? Okay, I'm going to show you that in the simulation here. First of all, I'm going to delete this because I don't need it anymore. I select a simulation file that I call Step 100, which I characterize by defining the desired throughput as the steady state one plus a step of the height of 100. So this one. Remember, 1440, which you see there, is the value that gives steady state for the desired throughput. But now I want at time 10 to require that the enterprise should produce 100 widgets more per week. Instead of 1440, I want them to produce 1540. What is the logic? Well, remember, I have limited resources. If I allocate more to production, I am allocating less to handling incidents. Does the enterprise adjust to that? Is it able to produce more while it has less resources to correct security incidents? So let's simulate and see what happens. We simulate, and if you are blind to what is going on in the background, as many managers perhaps are, it seems like the experiment has been successful. Because as you can see, we have increased the net throughput to a higher target. The company is indeed able to produce more. But if you look at the behind the curtains and see what is happening there, back kulissen, let's have a look at what is going on. Then, perhaps it's easier to see in the in this one. Then you can see, actually this is a bigger step. I put the 200 one. So I have, what you are seeing here is if I put a step 200. Okay, let's do that. So it did, was able to match a step of 100. Let's see if it able to mark a step of 200, meaning that here in step of 100, I put 200. Okay. Simulate, and again, it seems as the company is able to produce 200 widgets per week more. So is there any problem? Yes, there is. There are a lot of problems because the curves in the below, they are showing you what is happening. First of all, allocation to production, the green one. You see, you have to increase more and more and more and more over time. Why? Because you have to work harder and harder and harder because you are producing more and more and more waste. Yes, the company, the enterprise, is able to achieve the target of 200 more widgets per week, but it is doing that by working harder and harder and harder. And you see the number of security incidents, which is the brown line, or this one, is increasing dramatically. Yes? Well, what it tells you is that you can force the enterprise to work harder and harder and harder so as to, in effect, to produce the same amount of usable widgets. But because you are allocating more and more to production, you are neglecting security, and that means over time you're getting more and more security incidents. So in a sense, if you extended the time, sooner or later it's going to break down because you cannot have more and more and more and more security incidents. The people will be get exhausted. And also, they are working harder and harder and harder. You can see it clearer if you force even more. Here you see how it breaks down within the time horizon. If you require them to produce 400, which is more per week, they try to do so. They never quite achieve it. And in the end, the whole thing breaks down because the security incidents explode and the allocation to production goes up and up and up and up. So you get an unstable system. Actually, you got the unstable system earlier, because if you prolong the simulation time, even with the smaller steps, you will see that the whole thing is not stable. Let's see if we can arrange that. I put here desired throughput 100, which is the minimum. And I put step 100 back so as to have consistency. But I put now model settings instead final time 100, I put 1000. And then sim, I think I have to take this and delete it, because otherwise it's going to show me that. And now I simulate. No, it doesn't yet show that. Now it seems that it is able to adjust to that. Maybe it breaks down after even longer time. I'm not sure. It seems to be able to adjust. I'm curious as to what happens. Let me do it once more. Model settings. Instead of 1000, I put 5000. And I have again to take step this out, because otherwise it doesn't show me. Why doesn't this disappear? There is something strange here. State control panel. Ah, now it disappears. Okay. Let me simulate. Now it seems to be stable with 100 more. Still, they are working harder, and they are having more security incidents. If I put now step 200, let's see what happens. I am experimenting with the model. 200. Control panel. I take this away because it has the old scale. I don't want that. And simulate now. Okay, here something strange happened, which I don't quite understand what it is. But it seems, yeah, yes, indeed. Here you see with 200, which seems okay to be now, it breaks down. And that is because you get a huge number of security incidents and so on, more than the system can support. So with 1000, it seems that even if it requires more allocation to production and less to security incidents, you are having more waste. So if you consider the total resources, because you're having more waste, perhaps it's not economical. But it seems that the system was able to cope. With 200, already in a shorter time scale of 1,000 or so, it breaks down. You can experiment yourself with that. So basically, what it shows you, 3 minutes I have to stop. what it shows you is that since you are paying a big price in terms of increasing security incidents and less allocation to resources, sooner or later it breaks down. Here, very quickly down because you are pushing too far. But even with a less increase, with only 200 more widgets per week, it will break down sooner or later. The other thing, as I say, is that the model, let's go back to the model. The difference between gross process throughput and net process throughput is waste. Gross process throughput, there is the total number of products produced, no matter whether they are okay or not. Net process throughput is the number of those that are okay, can be sold, and the company makes a profit. So since we don't count the cost of producing waste, in reality, our simulation is a bit too nice in that it doesn't take into account the severe cost to the enterprise by producing much waste. It is an enterprise that can produce more, but it is doing so by producing waste in higher amounts. And if you push too hard, it breaks down simply because it cannot achieve even the goal of producing sufficient number of products that are past the quality test, no matter how much waste you produce. So the model is, of course, simple. Remember what I told you several times. Our models, they are less complicated than reality. Reality is very messy, very complicated. In order to get insights from reality, we use simple models. They are models that allow us to understand what is going on. We could make the model more realistic. But still, models should be always developed in steps where every time you understand the logic of the model. So if you tell me now, let's now add the costs of raw materials, the cost of the waste, and so on, then we will still produce first the model without the cost, be convinced that the model is reasonable within the assumptions of the model, then add the cost and see what happens, and so on. So always start with very simple model, see how they behave, understand how they behave, then you add a new aspect to become them more realistic, but you have some time to stop when you feel that you have sufficient understanding. Okay, we have a break now until 12:15.